And we find it in 1 Thessalonians. Now, if you get to Colossians, you're fairly close. But if you're in Genesis, you're totally the wrong end of the Bible. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It's one of Paul's letters. And if you work backwards from Revelation, you'll find it much more quickly than going the other way. Well, Anne, you get a prize for that. What's the number again? 1188, if you've got a church Bible. If you've got a phone or an iPad or something, you've got it already. You just got to speak to it, haven't you? And it comes up. So this is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're just reading from verse 12. And these are Paul's final instructions. In fact, the book of Thessalonians is a lovely book. I mean, all the Bible is lovely, but particularly when we look at the coming of the Lord, which was the previous chapter. But these are Paul's final instructions to the church from verse 12 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Are we all happy now? Well, are we all there, really, if we're not happy? Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle. Encourage the timid, help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Brothers, pray for us. Greet all brothers with a holy kiss. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all brothers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Lovely words, words of instruction there. Have this opportunity for wholeness and healing. I'm very conscious that I haven't really made too much reference to wholeness and what it means to be whole. And I guess some of us feel less than whole this morning. And I want to encourage you this morning through the Word of God, that part of what we've read already. What does it mean to be whole? Well, according to the dictionary, it means to be unbroken. It means to be undamaged or not damaged. The thesaurus says to be complete, to be entire, to be faultless, to be flawless, to be good, to be mint perfect. Do I have any hands this morning to indicate? Do you want to join me in any of these? Are we mint perfect? Far from it. But we might consider somebody we know here or elsewhere of good character who demonstrates a very good outlook on life, who weighs up everything, doesn't criticize, doesn't backchat, but is always speaking positive words. We'd say that person is quite wholesome, wouldn't we? Maybe there's some of us, or some of you rather, like that here this morning. Or it might be somebody who is really healthy, who feels that life is just worth taking hold of each day, has vision and passion for the future, and doesn't understand anything about illness and restrictions and failure. We might have ideas of some that are like that, that frustrate us at times, because they see the world differently to us. But wholeness, or being whole, is a completely different concept from God's perspective. And I don't speak for God this morning, but I see it in God's word of how he views somebody who is whole. And it all starts with the condition of the heart. Do you remember when Samuel was seeking a king to replace Saul, who completely failed, and failed in his character, I have to say, and David was the king to replace him, and Samuel went to the home of Jesse to search out for young David, Jesse was putting all his sons, seven of his sons, before him and saying, what about this one, what about this one? And they all had a good appearance. They all seemed to be men of good character. And every time, Jesse said, no, this is not the one. The Lord has not chosen this one or that one. Is there another? And of course, oh yes, there's another one. He's out in the field tending the sheep. His name is David. Bring him in. And Samuel looked at him and said, this is the one. And he anointed him to be future king. And the Bible says this: the Lord does not look at the things that man looks at, for man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. This morning, I really want to go to the heart of the matter, your heart, my heart today. Not whether it's beating, and I know one or two are glad that it is beating this morning. I don't mean it from that point of view, but I mean that inner spirit of our heart that is that condition that God looks to minister to bring healing and restoration. The word heart in Scripture means that seat of life. It's where our strength is. It's the wellspring of life. It's the mind, it's the soul, it's the spirit. It's our entire emotional part of our nature and our understanding, how we view life, how we view one another, how we view the world around us. And the proverb says this, Proverbs 14:30 says this: a heart at peace gives life to the whole body. So wholeness, from God's perspective, is about the heart. Have your heart for God today. You know, somebody once said, the thing that motivates us each day is what's in our heart. It was lovely to hear you say that this morning, Lillian, about your heartbeat. You're prepared to sacrifice a warm cup of tea in the morning to see God's creation. That is a heartbeat for God, I can assure you. And maybe some of us should have been awake to, not to see you in your, in what was happening, but that sunrise, we see God in nature. That heart for God, not seeing God as somebody who's remote, but somebody who deals with the heart and who gives us a new heart. In Hebrew, we have the word shalom. It usually means to be at peace. But it means much more than that. It's described as nothing broken, nothing missing. So when we say shalom to one another, and I hope that we do, I don't think we do in our culture, we are saying much more than peace be with you. We're saying something like, I hope you are well and healthy. Going to the heart. Oh, nice to hear. Well done, Tony. Did she reply? Did you reply? That's lovely. But in our Bible study on Monday, and Tony is right, we start with the Bible and we move slightly away to personal experience. And it's healthy to talk about things that touch our hearts. And in a sense, we were talking about whether we really know one another so we can pray for one another, and we don't. I know one or two here have certain sayings. When we say, how are you, we normally say, I'm well, thank you. That often happens in a doctor's surgery. See somebody, how are you? Say, well, thank you. Almost, what are you doing here then? But I might suggest that our response generally, when we say, I'm all right, we're actually not being truthful. And we may think, well, if you really knew what was going on in my life, you may not have all the time to listen to me. But equally, we might be wondering whether if we say something from our hearts to somebody else in the fellowship, we might be accused of lacking faith. If we are depressed, or if we feel sad, or the peace of God isn't our peace, and we're struggling, we're meddling along, I think, is a lovely phrase that Anne used this week. Or was it muddling along? Whatever that means. And I think we ought to be shalom to one another. We should ask one another and really talk about how we really are, so we can pray for one another and encourage one another, as the Bible says we're to do. In the third John, there's 1 John, 2 John and 3 John in the Bible, we have this relationship between one man and another, and he says to his friend, dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health, that all may be go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It's quite a lengthy greeting, but it'd be lovely if we could be a little bit more open with one another, and not to fear that if we want to say as it is, that we're going to be put off by that. It's not all joy, joy, joy. It's not all living by faith and not feeling anything. It is about the reality of life, and it needs to be that heartfelt ministry that I believe the Lord calls us to, so we can understand one another better and to be real with one another. There's another word for wholeness in the scriptures in the New Testament, and it's the word zozo, or sozo, so-so. S-O-Z-O, not so-so. And it's translated save, or the word salvation, which of course we recognize. When a person is saved, we know they're saved from the wrath of God, and they're saved into the kingdom of God, and they walk with God. A person who is saved is one who understands salvation. But it's much more than that ticket to heaven, once saved, always saved principle. It's much more than knowing that one day we have heaven to look forward to. It also is a healing of the heart. To be saved by grace is to have a heart that's healed. The promise in Jeremiah, I will turn your heart from stone and put it, taking in and making it become flesh. Coming from the powers of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love is what we read in Colossians. It's a transformation from the old life to the new life, from being dead in sins to alive in Christ. That's salvation. It's a healing of the heart. It's the process that we go through when we come to realize that we're sinners and we need to be saved by grace. And that's the message of the gospel, and then this message of the church. It is a work of God. You've got your Bibles with you, and you just want to turn with me to Ephesians. If someone's got a page number and shout it out, it'd be great. I'd like us just to remind ourselves of this, of what salvation really is, and that it comes from God. It's made alive in Christ. It's Ephesians chapter 2. 1174. My goodness, Anne, you're good, aren't you? You get a second prize. Ephesians chapter 2. As you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the Spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. And I love this next verse. But because of his great love for us, God's love for us, love for his world, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. And raised up with Christ and seated with us in heavenly places, in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Years ago, we ministered in Stone the Road, and a number of the folk came to join us from the Brethren Church. And they'd often say to one another, "Are you saved, brother? Are you saved, sister?" And that's a heart matter. Are we saved? Do we know the love of Christ in our hearts this morning? I mean, coming to church doesn't make us a Christian. But knowing a relationship with Jesus, knowing that we have been saved, and it's a process of time for some, it's a journey of faith for some, to realize that only Christ can save us. Have we given our hearts to the Lord? That's healing. Have we said, "Lord Jesus, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my ways. Let them flow in ceaseless praise as we sing." Is your heart a heart for God this morning? Maybe the Lord is coming with a healing of the heart in salvation today. Maybe you recognize you haven't given your heart to the Lord Jesus. Maybe you've never done that. And that's a personal thing. But maybe you want healing and restoration of coming to know Jesus as Savior. That's healing this morning. And I'd be glad to pray for anyone that recognizes they need Jesus in their life this morning. Blaise Pascal's work in the 17th century, he was a philosopher, a mathematician, he was a Catholic writer, and he says this: "There is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every person which cannot be filled by any created thing, but only by God, the Creator made known through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ." But when Jesus gave his life, he gave his life that we might have life, and life more abundant. I'm coming to an end now, so be rest assured, but I really want to take you to the scriptures again. And if you've still got Thessalonians marked, I'd like us to go to that reading we had earlier. First of all, just from verse 16, it says to be joyful always. It's difficult, isn't it? But I know that there are some of you here this morning that have gone through and are going through terrible times, depressing, distressing times. And to be joyful is not something that would come first into your heart and mind. But the Bible says to be joyful. To pray continually. And to give thanks in all circumstances. Now, it doesn't say to give thanks for all circumstances, as some faith people would say. But somehow in what we go through physically in life, somehow God still has his purpose for us, that we're not put on some rubbish heap somewhere because we're no longer any use that we used to be. But there's something going on in the ways of God that we don't understand, that even through physical suffering, His presence is still real, for God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. That means being doubting, and it means unbelieving that God by His Spirit works within us. Test everything, hold on to good, avoid every kind of evil. And this is the bit that I'd like us to really think about this morning. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. Notice the order that Paul gives to us: spirit first, soul and body. We live in a world where it's the other way around. Don't you notice? It's the mind. It's mindfulness. It's getting the mind sorted out. It's getting the body sorted out. Whatever we do with our body is about, well, because you're worth it, as the advert says. There's so much in our world today about the outside appearance that man looks at, and nothing about the spirit, which what God looks at the heart. So much of our world today is about how we look to other people, not what our hearts are saying. We're not hearing people that are saying about the devastations of the Middle East. We're not saying what our thoughts are with you. They don't say, and our prayers are with you, because we're living in a generation, in an age where God is not part of a conversation anymore, because the mind, the body, the soul has taken over from the spirit life. The spirit life is the heartbeat. Man sees himself above God in our age. And of course we walk around in a body, but the real person is the spirit and the soul. And our body is just an embodiment of who we really are. Who we really are is what's going on in the heart. Who you are is what's going on in your heart today. And I think it's important, if we're to remain blameless before the coming of the Lord, that we nurture our spirit man, if I can put it like that. We nurture the soul through the Word of God. I know Kath in particular has put out a call yesterday in the church meeting, as both tirelessly said, about us praying. You know, when the Spirit of God is working, when our hearts are for God, we cannot want to come to pray together. We want to pray together because prayer comes alive when our hearts are in tune with God. The Bible becomes alive. Worship becomes alive. Fellowship becomes alive when our hearts beating for the things of God. How sweet are your words to my taste, the psalmist said. Sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path. We read earlier from Psalm 19 about the similar words. The word of God is more precious than anything else. The things of God are more important than the things of this world. Even though we are fading away, as the Bible says, yet inwardly we're being renewed by God's word and through prayer and through fellowship. To nurture the spirit within us is far more. That's healing. As we nurture our spirit in the Word of God, in prayer and fellowship together, we are nurturing the very heartbeat of our lives. You see, with salvation, the gift of the Holy Spirit enables us to understand more of the things of God. Jesus said in John 15, He will guide you, that is the Spirit, into all truth and enable you to understand the things of God. And so I think that's an important piece of what I want to say today, that wholeness is a heart matter. It's a spirit, it's a soul matter. And of course it does affect the body as well. Now that doesn't mean to say that it's is a healing in the body. I'm not saying that necessarily. Although I do believe that people do get healed. But I think the healing of the spirit is so important because it enables us to see beyond this life to the life eternal. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, the Holy Spirit is a seal, a guarantee of what is to come. And if we have the Holy Spirit in our hearts, then we know that we have a future with God, not only in this life, but the life to come. Physically, maybe things don't change, but our eyes are fixed on Him, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. So wholeness, there's nothing broken. Mint condition. Is your heart mended this morning? In Isaiah 61, it speaks of Jesus and it says, I've come to bind up the brokenhearted. Is your heart broken this morning? Is it shattered into pieces through the disappointment of life? And you hide that from one another because you don't want people to think anything other than you're okay. I think it's good to cry. I think it's good to say as it is. I think it's good to be real. I think it's good to be open and transparent. Because God wants that heart healed. He comes to bind up the brokenhearted today. That's healing. Salvation is healing. As eternity is secured. Wholeness is a heart right with God through Jesus and the cross and His resurrection. That's a miracle. I think J. John, if you know of him, he's an evangelist, was asked the other day, what is the greatest miracle in the Bible? He said, Jesus rising from the dead. No other person has ever done it. No other person will ever do it. And no other one will come again one day. Jesus is coming back for those who know Him, who walk with Him, whose heart is right with Him. And in closing, there is an article in the Baptist Union, or written in the Baptist Times, I think it is, by Craig Millward, I believe he's in ministry of sorts. And he has a certain disablement, I think it's his legs or his arms or something. And he went to one of these healing services, and there was a seemingly word of prophecy given by a number of other people that he would get well, that his legs would grow, his arms, or whatever it was. Now, it is true that certain legs have been known to grow through prayer. We've actually seen them happen. And he said this, that although there was this seemingly word of prophecy, they prayed and they prayed and they prayed, and nothing happened. And he came away from that meeting thing, but am I really a Christian? Am I living by faith? Is there something wrong with me? And he went into a deep depression. And he then decided he'd really study the miracles of Jesus of healing. And in studying them, he says this, that Jesus spoke more of an undivided heart, a heart of purity, a heart of love of God, a love for God, making pure love its primary goal. That is the true definition of healing and wholeness. It must include far more than the profound experience that restored bodies can be seen. It's much more than that. It's a heart that beats for God. It's a pure heart. That's healing. And friends, that's wholeness. And so this morning, I say to you, God has come to heal your heart this morning. Maybe salvation is what you need. Maybe you need a renewal of His Spirit in your heart. That is for you this day. And we pray that it will be a day and a morning of healing in Jesus' name. Let's just pray together.